Amen. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I hope we all understand that. It's amazing how we use the word right. R-I-G-H-T, right. How many of you have said and looked at a couple and said, you know, they're right for one another? You ever said that? Better than saying, you know, they deserve one another. Somebody asked me, are you all right? And I always say, no. No, I am not all right. Then they look at me strangely and say, what are you talking about? You don't feel good? No, you asked me if I'm all right. No, half of me's left. Joe says yes. See, right, R-I-G-H-T, in the Proverb letter, chapter 14, Solomon states in verse 9, fools mock sin, but among the upright there is goodwill. Verse 11, the house of the wicked will be destroyed, but the tent of the upright will flourish. Verse 12, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of death. A lot of people are walking a road they think is the right road, but they can't see the end of the road. And the ultimate end is destruction. It's death. It's annihilation. So what is the end if you and I, as God's people, live upright, or if we live right? What is the result that you're promised? Why would you want to live right and live upright before man? What is the importance of that? Well, as I look back in the book of Genesis, I see the first time this word is used. God is carrying on a conversation with Cain. And God approaches Cain and says, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Cain, if you would do what is right, your countenance would be lifted up. I hope you hear what he said. He said, Cain, how you feel isn't based upon your feelings. How you feel is based upon your behavior. And if Cain, if you would behave right, do what is right, you will feel good. You will feel good. And your countenance would lift. As you look at the world and people's lives today, you will realize that much of the depression and stress and anxiety of life is the result of people not living upright, but doing and living evil and producing sin and hurting other people while they're doing it. You see, you can't treat people like dirt and not feel like dirt about yourself. It is impossible. And so if you want to feel good and feel what is right, stop looking at how you feel. Look at your behavior. Bring your behavior into a right relationship with God, and I'll guarantee you, you'll feel good about yourself, life, and the people you live with. Not only that, but in Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, the Bible says, if you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, and give ear to His command, and keep all His laws, He will bless you. You heard what I said? I mean, Moses said, do what is right. Abide by the commandments of God, give ear to Him, keep them. Walk in the laws of God, and you will receive the blessings of God. Okay? But that's not how people walk, is it? For some strange reason, people are not seeking for God's blessings. They think that at the end of the road, if they go and do what is right in their own eyes, they're going to get whatever it is they're looking for. And so what we do find is everybody has Cain problem. C-A-I-N, Cain problem, because they want to raise Cain. They want to do what is right in their own eyes. Judges 17:6 says this, In those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Now, what is that referring to? Because there was no authority in the land, everybody became a law unto themselves. Does that sound familiar? I'm asking you, does that sound familiar today? So we have, and we are destroying any form of authority in our nation today. We're destroying it. And we're destroying it. We're attacking home and not allowing man, husband and wife, to have authority over their own children anymore. We're trying to dispute and we're trying to destroy any respect for the authority of police, and even our armed services and everything are being attacked today and demeaned today in what they are doing. And people are rising up, are they not, and rioting and becoming a law unto themselves. And doing what they think is right in their eyes. Right? Why? Because there's no authority in the land. A president doesn't do a cotton-picking thing. I'm telling you, he doesn't. And if there's no authority, then you're going to end up with nothing more than people doing what is right and what is right in their own eyes. How about Isaiah 5 and 20? Listen to what Isaiah said. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't that amazing? How they're trying to make right every lifestyle that is hated in the Word of God. That's called evil, an abomination to God. We're passing laws to make it okay. We're calling it good. That people have a right to live any old way they want to. And that no one should dictate nor govern what is right to this one or wrong to this one. And on and on it goes. That is the philosophy of our day. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own eyes. Woe to them. So as you and I looked at our scripture today, sure. What am I doing wrong? I got it on. Okay. That's good. I got it on. All right. Now this finds favor with who? I think I got to go back. Okay. I had just mastered a little while ago. What am I doing wrong? Trust and obey? No, I don't want to do that. What are you laughing about? Okay. Do I push the top one? Yeah, look at that. Go left. I'm not a left winger. I'm a right winger. That's my problem, right? Okay, now I can do that, right? What? Fine. Bearing up under sorrow while suffering unjustly, what credit is there? When you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience. But if when you do what is what? What is right, and you suffer for doing what is right, and you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God, right? Now what it said? Would you quit that? Okay. I am going the wrong way. Come on. What do I got to do? Go back to the Bible? So act like free men. Let's get back here. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to human institutions. I understand. Whether to a king, one authority, governor sent by him, who's going to punish evildoers and the praise of those who do what? Right? That's the problem. We got a bunch of people out there calling themselves Christians that are going against and moving against our political power, and they are causing more evil than they are good. God never called us to go to the White House and carry our badges and raise up our sign and rioting and He didn't call you to do that. Jesus didn't do it. The apostles didn't do it. Our goal is to preach the gospel, bring people to the cross, make them a salvation, and then they will submit themselves to the authority of God. Not the government, no man, no individual, whatever. I am not going to Washington. I'm not going down to the courthouse. I am not going to go down there and make a display of who I am, because all that does is arm the enemy. I'm telling you, it arms them. It doesn't take that away. It doesn't do any good. It just keeps right on raising up, and they just see us for who we are. The Bible says we're to live peaceable. We're supposed to be peacemakers. And what does your Bible say? Okay, that doesn't mean I don't write letters. That doesn't mean that I don't express my very strong convictions and things of that nature. There is a right way to do it, and there is a wrong way to do it. Okay, so the point is that God has given them, and I believe they're still doing the best they can to bring the evil under control, punish the crooks, and do whatever, okay, and so on and so forth. So no matter what, I am going to do what is right in God's eyes, right? For such is the will of God that doing right, you may do what? You can silence the ignorance of foolish men. We're not shutting their mouths. We're opening them. Aren't we? When we do those types of things out there in the open and rise up against our politicians and law enforcement people, what are we supposed to do? What did it say? Submit yourselves for the what? Lord's sake to every human institution. What does that mean? That means you put yourself under them. What kind of government controlled the world when Christianity came into the world? A pagan, heathenistic government of Rome, permeated with paganism and heathenism and religions of all kinds. They worshiped prostitution and Diana. I mean, they were practicing abortion. They were doing all of that in Rome. Homosexuality was growing rampant in Rome, just like it did in Babylon, and they all fell morally within. I understand that. The salvation of America isn't any other way going to be accomplished except through the preaching of the gospel and people submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ through that aspect, okay? Are you with me? If you don't agree, it's okay. Okay? But the point is, for such is the will of God that by doing right, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act like free men, but don't use your freedom as a covering for what? For doing evil, all right? And as bond slaves of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and so on. You see that word right there? You know who a bond slave is? That's a person that had no rights. A bond slave had no rights, no nationality, no name, no recognition, owned no property, did not connect themselves to this life whatsoever. It says that you and I are to be bond slaves. That means we have no right. That is what's the problem today, is everybody's declaring and wants their right. You don't have any, Christian. You hearing me? You don't have any rights. You're not connected to this life. If you've been risen with Christ, you're to be setting your mind on things where? That are above, where Christ sits, at the right hand of God. That is our goal. That's our life. We're wanting to get to where the promised land, okay? And I think it's basic. We understand we've been called to be bond slaves of God. We're to honor all people. We're to love the brotherhood. Quit it. Okay? We're to love the brotherhood and honor the what? Well, that could be the president, right? Whether you agree with him or not, you honor the presidenthood. I don't agree with him, but I will honor the office of the President of the United States. You honor that? You understand that? Okay. Slaves or servants, you're working for somebody, right? You got a job? That means you're going to be submissive to the person you're working for, right? With all what? Respect not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Man, I counsel Christian men all the time that are doing nothing more than causing problems at work. Why in the world are you doing that? How can you read that and see that no matter what, you're to be submissive to the person you work for? Doesn't matter whether he's a good boss or a bad boss. You're to be submissive to that person because that's what God calls you to do. Now what it says? Is that what it says? with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also those who are what? I work for unreasonable people. I've often asked myself, how in the world do those people get put in those positions? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I'm sure you have, okay? But this finds favor if for the sake of conscience towards God, a person bears up under sorrow when suffering unjustly. But what credit is there when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience. But if when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with who? So who in the world are you trying to please? What is your purpose in your life as a Christian? What are you wanting and who do you want to honor? Doesn't matter who it is. That's why I have a lot of respect for entrepreneurism, those who have their own jobs, work for themselves. What a blessing, huh? When you think about it. But the point is, do what is right. Do what is right. Many say today, no, you don't have any right to tell me what is wrong and what it is right. And everything is relative. Therefore, there is no black and white, there is no right or wrong, and so on and so forth. And I humbly and completely agree with that to a point. You see, I believe there is a God in heaven who is sovereign. And I believe that God has defined what is right and what is wrong. What is right and what is wrong. And I believe that God is sovereign authority and we better submit to His royal and do what is right or we're going to answer to Him someday. Right? So let's look at the Word of God in a few minutes, okay? And let's make a decision in our own personal lives. What is right? What is right? Well, if you look at the word right, spell it R-I-G-H-T. See, 50 years ago, I graduated. Just wanted to confirm that. Okay? So we're going to let R stand for righteousness, I stand for integrity, G stand for good, H stand for honesty, and T stand for truth. All right? So if you want to say, well, what is right? Well, what is right is living righteous lives. What is right is being a person of integrity. What is right is doing good and living and do it and let your light shine and doing good unto all men, right? Being honest. Don't lie. Speak the truth, right? Right? And then be and walk in the truth. Girt yourself up in truth. Put on the belt of truth according to the Word of God. All right? You got to know the truth to be free. You know that? So consider the word righteous. Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be satisfied. Who in the world would you look at and call a man that was declared to be righteous? Who is the example of that person? Abraham. Abraham was told to take his only begotten son up into a mount, offer him as a sacrifice, right? And even before that, God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a child. And before that, you know, I mean, come on, they're beyond their ability to have a child. They're close to 100 years old. Sarah did what? She laughed, okay? But God believed that whatever God had promised, or Abraham believed that whatever God had promised, God was able to perform it. Okay? And so Abraham did what? He obeyed. Righteousness is a person who is walking in direct obedience to the Word of God and doing whatever it is that God has commanded. You see, your self-righteousness within yourself, according to the book Jeremiah, is nothing more than filthy rags in the eyes of God. All your goodness doesn't amount to a hill of beans when it's compared to the holiness of God. Would you not be rather clothed in God's righteousness than have your own? So the Bible tells us that Abraham was looked upon and God imputed to him. God placed his righteousness upon Abraham because Abraham did what? He believed and he obeyed. Okay? So every time I walk in obedience to a command of God, what is God doing? He's clothing me with whose righteousness? His own. Okay? You understand that? And so the point of issue is what is the end result? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be what? Satisfied, filled. You find people's lives being empty today? Are they empty? Yeah, they are. So what? I want to be filled. I want to be satisfied. I want to feel no hunger anymore, no thirsting anymore. Remember, Jesus said, he that drinks of this water will never thirst again. He who eats this bread that I'm going to give him will never hunger again. That is in the intent of living a righteous life before God. Listen to these verses, Proverbs 10. These are all out of Proverbs. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The wages of righteousness is life. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver. The lips of the righteous feed many. The righteous will never be shaken. The mouth of the righteous flows with wisdom. The lips of the righteous bring forth what is acceptable. You find that if you live a righteous life, it might be worth it? Huh? That the blessings are there for you, waiting for you, just simply to live an upright, righteous life before God. How is that done? By simply looking and doing and saying, Lord, speak, command. Your servant hears, and I will obey. I will obey. Now, it doesn't sometimes make sense. Maybe you don't understand why he commanded that. Who does? Do you suppose Abraham understood why God told him to take his son up and his only begotten son up into a mount, build an altar and offer him? Do you suppose Abraham understood all the happening? He just understood this. When Isaac asked him, where's the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? God will provide. God will provide. So that's just R. We're going to look at I and so on next few weeks together. Because I really feel that as you and I live in this world, that there is so much, and it begins with us, understanding our role and how it is to be functioning in a world of politics. Be it a king, a president, however we live and wherever we live, there are certain guidelines that God has given us in his word related to the political powers. You see, Paul said in Ephesians that our battle isn't against flesh and blood. Our battle is against spiritual wickedness. Where? In high places. Spiritual rulers, etc., etc. So it shouldn't surprise you that you and I see so much evil being propagated in our political world. It's not new, people. It isn't new. Okay? I mean, you had David. Saul, David and Solomon. How righteous were they? Right? Did they all sin? I mean, think about it. Do you know that Solomon is the only one we know of that's not mentioned by God as being in heaven nor in the hall of fame of faith? Yet he's mentioned as a man of what? Of wisdom. But he truly, really sinned against God, did he not? Yeah, he did. So when you and I consider from that Solomon on, most all of the kings after that, all the way through, were corrupt, weren't they? There was a couple, Josiah, basically, who found the book of Deuteronomy and read it and brought revival back into Israel for a period of time. You see, the law of degeneration is an ongoing process of life. Nothing is going to stay the same. We need to know that. The only thing you need to protect and not allow to degenerate is your righteousness before God. Honor him. Honor him by living an obedient life. And let him clothe you with his righteousness. And out of that righteousness that God clothes you with, he promises a fountain of life, wages of life. Your tongue will be like silver. When you speak, people will, like E.F. Hutton, people will listen. The righteous will feed many. The righteous will be filled with gladness. Cain, why are you depressed? The mouth of the righteous will flow with wisdom. And the lips of the righteous will bring forth what is acceptable. If you and I were busy being kind, before you knew it, you would find that we would soon forget to think it was true that someone was unkind to you. If you were busy being glad and cheering people who are sad, and although your heart may ache a bit, you soon forget to notice it. If you were busy doing good and doing just the best you could, you'd not have time to blame some man who's doing just the best he can. If you were busy being true to what you know you ought to do, you'd be so busy you'd forget the blunders of the folks you've met. If you were busy doing right, you'd find yourself too busy quite to criticize your neighbor long because he's busy doing wrong. Just get busy doing right. Just get busy doing good. Just keep busy doing and being glad and happy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Just be busy being kind. Be kind to all men. Be kind. Be kind. And just see how your whole atmosphere of life changes around you and how you see things differently. Amen? Do what is right. And we'll continue the rest of the story, Lord willing, on the next Lord's Day. Okay? Now we're going to sing Trust and Obey. I can do that. Watch. Come on. Aha. See? All right. Man. Okay. Let's stand together. And let's be singing together Trust and Obey. Is he coming? Are we playing? Oh.